If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You always come and accept our offer and invitation. That's really kind of you, and it's a pleasure to have you again in the studio answering our Islamic laws related questions. So it's a while that we are talking about these questions or Islamic laws of miscellaneous nature. According to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, let me continue along the same line, if you don't mind, Sheikh.
Sure, no problem.
Can women make wudu in the presence of non-mahram men because they have to roll up their sleeves, all right? So show a part of their, for example, arm, is that okay? Is that permissible in front of the non-mahram?
Well, it depends. I mean, if ladies, roll up their sleeves, mm-hmm. and they cannot cover their sleeves at the same time to prevent themselves from being seen by men, of course, it's not permissible. Mm. But if those conditions are met, for example, women ensure that no part of their body which is obligated to cover is exposed to the view of non-mahram,
yes,
men, while performing wudu, then if they make sure that this is done,
yes,
then there's no problem. It's permissible. Like in some parts, they use their veil to cover themselves, and at the same time they make wuzu. There's no problem. But anyhow, it is haram for a lady. Maybe I do see some ladies, especially ladies who do not have knowledge of Islamic teachings.
Yes,
they, for example, when you go to mashhad, for example, you see ladies making wuzu. And unfortunately, they sometimes remove their scarf sometimes to wipe their head, not making sure that, their hair might be seen by men. So this is not okay. And if such a thing happens, it's not permissible for them to do so in the presence of men. So to put it in a nutshell, if a woman fails to take precaution and her body is seen by non-mahram men, she has committed a sin. However, the wudu itself remains
valid.
Yeah, since the condition of ritual purity is fulfilled regardless of the sin committed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I see.
This is the opinion of His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, after a short break.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature. according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, is it valid to consecrate a moving structure as a mosque? A moving structure? Whether it be a trailer or a mobile home that is occasionally moved, like a kiosk, for example, right? Or a space such as a train compartment or airplane area, which is dedicated normally to, for example, prayers, that is regularly in motion. I'm talking about the airplanes or the trains, for example. So is it valid to concentrate that part of the train or plane or that kiosk as a kind of mosque?
Of course, His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei says that as a matter of mandatory precaution, al-ihtiyat al-wajib, the consecration of such moving structures as mosque is valid, is permissible. And once it is consecrated and considered as a mosque, then you see that they should be treated with the sanctity of a mosque, and they should be treated in the same way as a mosque, as a real mosque is treated. And this means that they cannot be used for other purposes or de-consecrated, even if the structure is later relocated. It's not permissible. So people, when something is considered as a mosque, as a room is considered as a mosque, a room can be moved from one place to another place by truck, by, you know.
Yes.
So if it is moved, it doesn't mean that it is deconsecrated and it's no longer considered to be a mosque. It remains a mosque, and therefore it's not permissible to enter that mosque in the state of janaba or in the state of menstruation.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, but they have to make sure that while offering the prayers, they're standing in the direction of the qibla, right?
Qibla, and also
because it's moving, so
it's not... is not shaking violently.
Yes.
Yeah. Because otherwise, when you are not composed, and the composure is not there, and when things are shaking violently,
yes,
then one of the conditions for the validity of the prayer is missing.
Composure is missing.
Yes.
I see. Thank you. Is it permissible, Sheikh, to watch video recordings of dancing?
Watching video recordings of dancing is not permissible if the dance is accompanied by unlawful music and when it is sexually provocative. Of course, it's always and usually the case that it's not permissible to, generally speaking, the religious authorities have stated clearly that it's not permissible to dance, nor is it permissible to watch such dancing, okay?
Not to mention video recording.
Because they are corrupting. They are sexually provocative
and demoralizing.
Of course. But if the video does not fall into these categories, some jurists may not deem it absolutely forbidden. You know, people like we see that some like people in Kirmanshah of Iran, like they have their traditional dance.
It's a cultural thing. Yeah.
Maybe in this case, the scholars are divided as to whether it is considered to be dance as sexually provocative or not. Okay. So the duty bound has to ask the examples, give it as an example, and ask for themselves whether it is permissible or not. Otherwise, generally speaking, dances are forbidden to dance and to watch.
For the opposite sex.
For the opposite sex, and also
if
for
the men are dancing like
again,
for themselves, for cultural things.
That's another issue, just as was mentioned.
Women dancing for their husbands, or women dancing for the women.
That's another case, of course. It's permissible for a woman to dance for her husband,
right?
And for a man to dance for his wife.
Yes.
Yes. But a man cannot dance for other men, a woman cannot dance for other women.
Oh, they cannot.
Yeah, they cannot.
So, I see. And what about its video recording of it?
Recording, again, if it is sexually provocative, if it is provocative, if it is accompanied by unlawful music, then it is forbidden.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take another break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question. It's kind of related to the previous one just before the break we had. Is it permissible to listen to a woman singing?
Well, listening to a woman's voice is permissible in general, but it becomes haram if it takes the form of ghina, right?
Uh-huh.
And ghina is a kind of a style of melody, melodious, rhythmic singing associated with entertainment and immorality.
Right.
Sometimes ghina is a kind of song, just as Ayatollah Sistani says, that it is a kind of song with false claims, exaggeration about something, okay, not to mention the melodies and the rhythmic sound in it. So ghina, when a sound comes under the category of ghina, then it becomes forbidden and it's not permissible to listen to it. But if none of these elements are present, for example, if the recitation is neutral or instructional, right, then listening is not prohibited when something is instructional.
Instructional, what do you mean?
I mean it's instructive. It is kind of giving you a message, teaching you something, okay? Teaching.
I see.
So there is a kind of sound. It's not considered ghina, but it is aimed at teaching something, communicating a message to you, teaching you about something.
That's even if it is in singing form, in the singing way.
If it is instructional, if it's not considered to be sexually provocative, it does not lead to any kind of moral corruption, and it does not come under the category of ghina,
right,
then it is, if it is instructional, then it is okay, there's no problem.
I see. It sometimes happens that when we go to the mosque for prayers, someone mistakenly takes our shoes and leaves behind their own shoes, which look very similar to ours.
Yes.
All right? Can we, in such instances or scenarios, wear the shoes that resemble ours?
Well, the ruling depends on certainty. I mean, if you are certain that the shoes belong to the same person who mistakenly took yours,
yes,
and you also know that finding him is impossible or involves undue hardship, you may take the shoes and use them.
Right.
Because there's a kind of certainty. Maybe you do know that, okay, such and such person took, okay, my shoes, so I can take his shoes. Maybe if you happen to meet him or come across or run into him sometimes, you can
exchange them.
Exchange. Otherwise, you can take it for yourself. But if the shoes left behind are greater value, it's more precious, more expensive. Of course, that person must pay the difference as charity to a needy person. If the finder, if the owner of the shoes does not turn up, okay?
Mm.
Because the shoes left in the mosque
are not yours,
and it's more expensive. It's higher, greater in value.
Mm.
So that
in comparison with our shoes,
yes, of course, in comparison with your shoes was outdated, very old.
Yes. Yes.
So maybe you have to pay the difference as charity to a needy person. And if you are not certain that the shoes belong to that person who took yours, then it is impermissible to use them even if they look identical to your own.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you back. And you shed light on the questions that I ask regarding the Islamic laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to your own program. And from me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program, our guest speaker, Sheikh Javid, we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.